ain't misbehaving. They're just behaving.
Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you.
Welcome to this episode of Ain't Misbehaving.
I'm Dr. Louisa, and I'm here to talk about your pets, some problems you may have,
and this episode's bonus question.
I'm a veterinarian with a special interest in behavior and have been helping people with their pets for over 30 years. My hope is to help you with your own interspecies relationships.
Welcome back to this episode of Ain't Misbehaving. Before we jump into a huge problem with indoor cats, here's last episode's bonus question. What happens when you throw a yellow rock into a purple stream? Well, it gets wet. What did you expect, a muddy brown? Of course, I shudder to think what might be making the stream purple. Okay, back to our indoor cat. Now, after knowing what dangers lie outside, your cat is nicely indoors and happy with a cat tree, food puzzles, and other enrichments. Then comes that dreaded day, the deal breaker. The day you decide you must let your little darling have a go at the birds and deal however they can with cars, coyotes, and other cats. This is the day you find that puddle on the rug or on your bed, or if you are really lucky, on the easily cleaned floor. Sweet, huggable Felis domesticus has chosen your space to pee, wee, whiz, piddle, potty, take a leak, pass water, water the tulips, do the French, yes, answer the call of nature, drain the mighty Poseidon of the salty seas, and drain the main vein and make the bladder gladder. All I can say is, you're in trouble. Some call this inappropriate elimination, but others balk at this term. It is not inappropriate to the cat. They are making a very logical decision for them. But it is unacceptable to cat owners. This is one time when we do not want to think outside the box. But wait a moment. We don't need to kick the cat outside. As we heard in a previous episode, being outside is not good for the cats or for the birds. So there are things we need to do before getting rid of the cat. The very first thing, get a veterinary exam. When I do behavior consults for cats, I won't see the cat until the owner has taken the cat to their regular vet for an exam, urinalysis, fecal analysis, and blood work. Many things can make the cat need to go now, box or no box. Things like bladder stones or bladder infection can happen to a cat at any age. Kidney issues are common in older cats and can add to the pressure to urinate. If you notice that your cat is drinking more water than normal, this is also an indication of a physical problem. Not only kidney problems, but diabetes and hyperthyroidism are common in older cats. Alteration of electrolytes, abnormal cortisol levels, diet, and some medications are also possible causes of the cat needing to pee more often, despite their age. Constipation and/or diarrhea can alter litter box usage. This is usually obvious if you are the one to clean the box. Diarrhea is obvious. I won't describe it. If you really need to know, do a web search for feline diarrhea, and that is spelled D-I-A-R-R-H-E-A, FYI. Constipation is harder to determine. If there is no feces in the box, it could be that the cat is going somewhere else, and you will end up surprised at where they find to deposit their poo. Physical problems are especially true in an adult cat with no prior litter box problems. Anytime there is an adult cat with a new problem, the first thing to do is to make sure there are no medical issues. Then we need to find out if it is a marking behavior, an avoidance of the litter in the box, avoidance of the box itself, or a preference for a different substrate or location. The main reasons that cats eliminate outside the box are either marking their territory or not liking where the box is or what is in the box. We are either dealing with an emotional issue or a change in habit. The first question I ask is it urine or feces or both? If urine only, consider marking as well as a litter box problem. If it is feces, consider litter box problems. In the past 30 years, I have had only one case where the cat was marking with feces, and she was a girl cat, and she was an exception. If it is both urine and feces being deposited outside the box, consider a litter box problem. If it is only urine, then I ask, is the volume small or large? If large volume, the cat is probably voiding its bladder. Then I consider a box problem, either where it is or what is in it. Is it on horizontal or vertical surfaces? If vertical surfaces, consider a marking behavior. They usually back up, twitch their tail, and squirt backwards onto a wall. Horizontal surfaces usually means that the cat just needs to pee. So, in general, a small volume on a vertical surface is most likely a marking behavior. Large volumes on a horizontal surface are generally a problem with the box, either where it is or what is in it. I say in general, since cats do many things for many different reasons, but this is a good place to start. Is the cat spayed or neutered? If not, then marking goes higher on the list of possibilities, way higher. Unneutered male cats will almost always spay to mark their territory. I say almost always, but I have yet to find an intact male cat that doesn't spay. I worked for a veterinarian once who had great plans to breed Burmese cats. Burmese are a beautiful cat with colors ranging from fawn to chocolate. I mean, wow, a chocolate cat. Who wouldn't want one? But this vet quickly learned that having an intact male cat in the house was not a good idea. After waking up to cat pee on his pillow, he quickly scheduled the cat for surgery and gave up his plan for breeding. Breeders who do keep intact male cats usually keep them in a garage or another outbuilding. The smell of tomcat urine is overwhelming. But it isn't just the tomcats that spray. Female cats and neutered males may also mark their territory by spraying urine. This is often triggered by anxiety. It is common to find urine marks underneath windows. When outside cats come around, the indoor cat may see, hear, and even smell them. Ooh, intruder alert. If you have a cat that is spraying small volumes of urine on vertical surfaces and is an intact male, there is a high probability that it is hormonally driven. Neuter the cat, and there is a high probability that the behavior will stop. If the cat is spraying small volumes of urine on vertical surfaces and is neutered, then there is a high probability that it is anxiety-driven. This is an emotional issue and not a hormonal one. Take a good look at the places that are being marked to see if there are potential sights and sounds of things that the cat is reacting to. Is the cat spraying near a window? Could there be outside cats that are triggering the marking behavior? Is the marking near a door where the cat can hear or smell another cat? If you have multiple cats, then the odds go up that one of the cats will mark. One study showed that 80% of households with three or more cats had a cat that would spray. In a multi-cat household, the space in the household needs to be considered, as well as what is going on with the box. Cats need their own space. conflict can often be reduced simply by providing more perching areas so that all cats can have a place to rest well away from the others. If the cat is spraying small volumes of urine on vertical surfaces and is neutered, and you have recently introduced another cat, there can be an emotional aspect, even if the cats are not obviously antagonistic. Cats don't like change. Adding a new cat is a major change. This change can often induce a cat to mark its territory. There are many things that can help reduce a cat's anxiety. Vertical space can help a lot. Cats need to feel safe, and having a bird's eye view of what is going on can help. Hiding places are good, but may not be the answer if the other cat is a bully. A bully cat will sit outside a hiding place, just waiting for the other cat to come out. A spot high up in the room gives the victim a way to monitor who is where. Remember to create an exit, too. Cats can be trapped by a bully just as easily on a perch as in a hiding spot. What about anti-anxiety medications? Since I am a veterinarian and can prescribe medication, I have anti-anxiety meds in my toolbox. However, it can be a production to get a pill into a cat. One of my favorite cartoons shows a veterinary exam room. Shelves are torn off the wall. Pictures have been strewn all over. There are claw marks on the wall, and the veterinarian's lab coat is torn to shreds. The vet is out of breath and hands the cat owners a pill vial and says, "There, it's down. Now give 9 of these a day." Experience can get you adept at just putting the pill down the cat's throat. But it takes a lot of experience. Even if the cat doesn't fight you, they may just smile, walk away, and spit it out behind the couch. Hiding it in soft food may do the trick, but if the medication is bitter, then the cat won't eat it. Their sense of smell is really good, and they know when their food has been tainted. I have the advantage of access to compounding pharmacies. These pharmacies can make a liquid with dosages more easily given to small animals. They can also make them chicken or tuna flavored, which is much easier to give to the cat. The flavored dose is also easier to hide in soft food. There are some over-the-counter anti-anxiety medications, but I have not found them to be as effective as the meds that I have access to. So my experience with the products available to the average pet owner is minimal. But there are some things that I have heard that can work well. One thing is a plug-in pheromone diffuser. These devices mimic the facial pheromones that cats have on their cheeks. Cats deposit this substance when they rub up against objects or you. It is a way of declaring their territory in a way that is less detectable to us than urine marking. These diffusers plug into an outlet and cover about 700 square feet and last about 6 months. I recommend them because they are easy to use and may be of some help. And there are no side effects. There are some over-the-counter meds that contain theanine or milk protein ingredients. I have not used these products in my practice. The cases I see often require the heavy-duty meds. That is a brief overview of hormonal or anxiety causes of unacceptable elimination. The other main reason we need to look at is a change in litter box habits. So let's work through the problem of not using the box. As I said earlier, first, check for a medical issue. If that is all normal, the next question is whether the cat is spayed or neutered. If it is an unneutered male cat, there is a simple surgical solution. Intact male cats will mark their territory. Get the cat neutered. So now we have a handle on the low-volume vertical squirts, let's look at the high-volume horizontal puddles. In order to get a true diagnosis, we need to approach the problem systematically. This includes getting data. The first thing to do is get a means of keeping records. This could be a calendar, a notebook, or, for the technologically inclined, a spreadsheet or some kind of app that I can't even conceive of. One couple I worked with loved all the tech stuff and had coordinated data collection on their phones. Don't ask me how. But data collection in some form is important. One of my mentors told me that working with a cat is like playing chess. You make a move, then the cat makes a move. So write down the date, time, and what change was made. Give it a day or so, then record any behavior changes that the cat does. I like to give it more than one day to be sure that the cat is truly doing something different. Once we have determined that the cat is voiding its bladder and not marking, then we ask, when did it start? Often, owners don't remember the precise day, but they can say if it's been going on for weeks, months, or years. This is important to have a ballpark date, since the longer the cat has been going outside the box, the stronger the habit is. And habits are powerful. I know this from personal experience. For a while, I lived in a cabin in the woods that had an outhouse. It wasn't bad. I decorated it inside and even made a heart-shaped toilet seat. I lived there for about 6 months and then took a trip to visit my family. This was at the house I grew up in. After eating and talking for a while, I felt the urge to answer nature's call. So I got up and headed to the front door to go outside. Well, I caught myself in time, but I realized how quickly habits can form. 6 months of going outside overruled 17 years of using the room inside. Now, when we are looking at change in litter box habits, there are two things we need to determine. Is there a problem with the location or a problem with the litter? And for each of these, we need to ask, is there an aversion to the location of the box or the type of litter? Or is there an attraction to the new unwanted location or substrate? Aversion or attraction? A question that may be overlooked is, does the cat dig in the litter? Cats are pretty fastidious creatures. Even outside, they will dig a hole, eliminate, and then cover it up. Some people know the answer to this right away. They can hear the cat digging away from the next room. But even if we don't hear the cat, we will know the answer if the feces are left uncovered. If the cat does not cover its urine or feces, there is a high probability that the cat does not like the feel of the litter on its feet. There was a case presented at a conference I attended about a cat that would sometimes go in the box and sometimes go next to it. The owner set up a camera, and I got to see the video. The cat would approach the box, step on the side, and balance to eliminate. Whether the feces was in the box or outside the box depended on whether his hind end was over the box or over the floor. To evaluate location preference or aversion, I look at several factors. If the cat has been known to dig in the litter and cover the poop, he probably doesn't mind the feel of the litter on his feet. So if he has stopped using the box, has something changed in the place where the box is? Is there new furniture nearby? Has there been a scary event prior to the start of the new behavior of eliminating in an unwanted area? If you were using the bathroom and a pipe burst, you may not want to use that room again and opt for another bathroom. And if there isn't another bathroom available, you might get creative. So there may have been something happened that you're not aware of, but that scared the cat away from using the box. If you suspect a location aversion, the test would be to put the box in a location that the cat has chosen to use. Now, this spot may be in the dining room or near the front door, not places we would want a litter box, but remember, this is only a test. The question we want to answer is, does the cat use the same box and litter in the new location? If the cat doesn't use the box, we go back and reevaluate. And then you can breathe easy. No more litter box in the dining room. Yay! But if he does use that box, then we need to leave the box there for another couple of days. I like to see the cat use the new location for at least 3 days before deciding that he really does like that spot. Then, if it is a spot that you don't like, then you can move the box to a place you prefer. But, and this is a big but, it must be done slowly. Cats don't like change. Move it maybe an inch or two every other day, and don't move it back to the old location. The more common issue that I see is with what litter is in the box. There may have been a change in litter or a change in how the cat perceives the litter or something else that we can't detect with our puny sense of smell. Often, when I am contacted about an unacceptable urination problem, people tell me that they have changed the litter, but it hasn't changed the behavior. Changing the litter may not tell us what we need to know. Cats don't like change, and an abrupt change in what is in the box may not help. I prefer to set up a kitty smorgasbord. Now, a human smorgasbord is where there's a table full of food to choose from. Pick what you like. No one is telling you that you have to eat a specific item. So, with the kitty smorgasbord, the cat has a choice. There isn't just one thing, take it or leave it. We are asking the cat, what do you prefer? We need to set out 3 litter boxes. Remember, we are playing chess with a cat. We make a move, then the cat makes a move. Get 3 boxes and line them up in the same area. We are working on substrate preference and not location. The boxes don't need to be specifically cat boxes. No need to buy more plastic boxes that you might not use. For this test, you can use a cardboard box cut down to 2 to 4 inches. Fill 1 box with current litter. In another, use whatever undesirable substrate they now use. If he uses the carpet, get a carpet sample and cut it to fit the box. Same thing if he uses the bare floor. Get a vinyl sample and cut it to fit. Flooring companies often have leftover pieces or even samples that they might give you. If the cat uses your clothes to pee on, you can use a towel or an old t-shirt. For the last box, use a completely novel litter. This could be any loose material, like garden soil or shredded newspaper. You can use a different brand or type of litter, but if he doesn't like it, then you are stuck with a container of litter he doesn't like. If you have a friend with a cat, you may go and ask to borrow some of their cat's litter. Of course, it is much like borrowing a cup of sugar, but you need much more than a cup, and, of course, there is no intent to return it. If the cat uses the new litter, this is great. Place a second box with that in alongside the current box and repeat the test at least 3 times. We want to make sure that the choice is consistent. If the unwanted substrate is chosen and it is in the box, set that next to the current box and repeat the test again 3 times. If it is a material you can get more of, continue to use that, maybe for a few weeks. We are now getting the cat back in the habit of using a box. Once the box habit is stronger, then we can start to add a type of litter we like over a few weeks. Just like moving the box to some place we want, changing the type of litter from towels to sand must be done slowly. If the current litter is chosen, but the cat still doesn't cover, repeat the test with a new novel litter. There are a lot of litter types available on the market. Be aware, though, that when the manufacturer said it is the best litter, it may be the best for all the cats they tested, but may not be the best for your cat. If you find a litter that your cat chooses fairly consistently, continue to set it up next to the old box and old litter. Remember, cats don't like change. Create a new habit for 2 to 4 months before gradually taking away the second box. Or you can make a gradual change in the first box and have 2 boxes for your cat to choose from. A side note, it is recommended that there be one more litter box than there are cats in the house. So two cats should have three boxes. Three cats should have four boxes. An exception to this is if two of the cats have a bonded relationship. This means that they sleep together, play together, and don't mind sharing a potty. Human families do this too. Families often share a bathroom, and the reason for having two is more convenience rather than any aversion to using either bathroom. The situation is different when staying someplace where there is a communal bathroom with strangers. There may be some trepidation about using that particular bathroom. Oh, and here is a side note. Keep the litter box clean. And I mean clean by the cat standards, which may be higher than our own. General recommendations are to scoop at least once or twice a day, replace the litter and wash the box monthly, and replace the box each year. Now, some cats are less demanding than this, but if the cat is reluctant to use the box, this becomes much more imperative. To recap, determine if it is a medical problem, an emotional problem, or a preference issue. See your veterinarian to rule out a medical problem. Adopt anti-anxiety measures for emotional issues. And offer a kitty smorgasbord for preference issues. And always make sure their favorite toilet area is clean and inviting. Let me tell you about one case I had that illustrates some of these principles. Gripper was an 8-year-old male-neutered Burmese, a sweet cat. But of course he was. He was a Burmese. He had recently begun urinating in the back room of the house and then in the kitchen sink. The referring veterinarian had done a urinalysis, which was within normal limits. No blood tests were done, so I had them do that too. An older pet with a new problem is a red flag for me that there may be an underlying physical problem. The lab results showed evidence of an infection, but the source of that infection was not evident. There was no indication of an infection on the urinalysis, so we went on with the behavior consultation. Here are the facts. Gripper was peeing on the rug in the back room and occasionally in the kitchen sink. Each time it was a large volume on a horizontal surface. The owners had noticed another cat outside looking in through the sliding glass door. We couldn't completely rule out a medical issue due to the low-grade infection. There was a possibility that the stress of an outdoor cat was pressuring him to mark his territory. There was another cat in the household that did not pee outside the box. His relationship with his housemate cat seemed fine, but you never know. The owners didn't know if Gripper covered his feces in the box, since both cats had used that box. So, medical? Anxiety? Something about the box or the litter? At this point, it could be any of those. I did a house call with these people, and I'm glad I did. That led me to the answer, which I never could have guessed just talking with them on the phone. I got a tour of the house and was shown the cat box. It was pretty ingenious. The box was in the garage, and there was a cat door to the garage from the back room. The cats had been using this system for years with no problem. Most of the peeing that Gripper did was in that back room. I went into the living room and they showed me the sliding door where the neighbor's cat would peek in. As I stood there, their other cat leaped onto a table, then a bookcase, and then a ledge above the glass door. They had provided a wonderful vertical space for the cats. As I remarked how nice it was, they told me that Gripper had fallen off last year. They had the vet check him out, but nothing was broken, and he seemed fine. When I examined Gripper a bit more closely, he liked to be scratched around his ears, but not on his back. Initially, that didn't surprise me. Many cats have don't-touch-me-there spots, but the timing of his fall coincided with his urinating outside the box. So I had the owners take off the flap to the cat door to the garage. The flap was probably hitting him on a sore spot on his back. That was good, but we had to let Gripper know now that the door was okay. Rather than just pushing him through and saying, "Suck it up, boy," we fed him just in front of the door for a day or so to get him back into the habit of going to that place. Then we put his favorite treat in front of the door and just on the other side in the garage. Once he was happily eating in that spot, we covered the place he had been using with aluminum foil to discourage him from that habit. Fortunately, Gripper was not an inordinately anxious cat. He caught on quickly and resumed using the box in about a week. So now that you're not in trouble anymore, let's tackle this episode's bonus question. The bonus question is, what can you never eat for breakfast? If you think you know the answer, send an email to info@radiotacoma.org with bonus question in the subject line.
You can send your questions to info@radiotacoma.org. Please put "Ain't Misbehavin'" in the subject line. You can give as much information in the email as you wish. If your question is chosen, I will answer it in detail on the program. Join us again for more sagas from the world of pet behavior problems.
This is Dr. Louisa reminding you,
they ain't misbehaving, they're just behaving.
I don't stay out late, don't care to go. I'm home about eight, just me and my radio. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you.